You. All right, we've got a lot to cover tonight. Who was here last night? Okay, who wasn't here? Welcome. We love you all. Thanks for coming. I'm going to do a quick review on last night. I don't want to try to cover everything, but I do want to just share a little bit more of my heart. We had a great elders meeting this morning, met with the elders and staff, and have been fielding a lot of questions, a lot of discussion all day today that I think has been very fruitful, and I anticipate that tonight's teaching, I hope it answers a lot of questions. It might spur on some more questions, which is okay, and like Justin said, the best I can do on a weekend is if you want more, read the book. Get more of the material, we can just really scratch the surface. So would you just grab the hand of the person next to you? I want to just pray real briefly and dive in. I hope that you brought your Bible. That would be extremely helpful. So Father, we just thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for this gathering of believers. And Lord, we just pray, Father, that you would continue to bring unity in this city. I was dreaming last night and I saw an iron curtain over this city. And I sense that there's been strong division and misunderstanding for many years. Lord, I'm just asking that you would use these meetings to bring down the iron curtain in Pagosa Springs. Lord, I'm asking for unity. How blessed our brothers who dwell together in perfect unity. Lord, let your oil run down from who you are in this city and in this region. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles or your iPhone, would you turn to Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4. As I was praying and asking the Lord what we should go after this weekend, I really felt like he was asking me to dive in again to apostolic Christianity. And I took some time to define that last night, and I just want to do that again so that you understand where I'm coming from. Apostolic Christianity is the Christianity of Jesus and the apostles. It's the divine commissioning of the followers of Jesus Christ to represent his name and his nature to the world around them, as revealed to and by the first century church. If we want New Testament results, we must rediscover and build according to the New Testament pattern found in the scriptures. Haggai in chapter 2, verse 9 prophesied that the latter glory of this house would far surpass the former. And what I went after last night is I believe that if we're going to inherit that latter glory, now I've used some phrases interchangeably, latter glory, new wine, third great awakening, the more, revival. Many of us recognize that there's something coming. There's a move of God. Whatever that we want to say, we know something's coming. But if we want that latter glory, at the very least, we have to recover the former. In other words, the Lord is calling his body back to the foundation that the New Testament church built itself on. So when we say that God is creating a new wineskin, what we mean by new is the Bible one. When we say that God is doing a new thing, really what he's doing is an ancient thing. And so we're establishing the difference between American Christianity and New Testament Christianity. Do you want to be a part of a New Testament church, or do you want to be a part of an American church? If we're going to have the new wine, if we're going to have the latter glory, God is calling his people back to the foundations. Now, I asked a couple of questions last night and made a few statements, and I just want to do that quickly. What price are we willing to pay in order to build according to the pattern of the first century church. I also made a statement that God will not fill what he has not formed. I'm convinced in many of our American churches, we are asking God to fill a system that man formed. So I have been traveling over the last 5 years, literally all over the nation, the nations of the earth, contending for an outpouring, the new wine, and the Lord has stopped me dead in my tracks and said, unless a people begin to build the wineskin, I won't send the new wine. So I have been at a real standstill where Tyler mentioned I'm coming off the road. I'm cutting down 75% of my travel schedule, and we're opening up a full-time school of ministry in Lakeland, Florida, because I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have got to begin to build a system. We've got to begin to shift our churches into an apostolic model of Christianity before the Lord is going to pour out all that he wants in the earth. So I'm guessing you're here on a Saturday night because you want more. Could you raise your hand? I'm pretty sure. How many of you drove more than 2 hours to be here? Got some. Raise your hand high. Come on. Got some hungry folks in here. And again, I appreciate those of you who have driven out. So if we're going to get back to the foundation, last night I preached a message called Jesus Christ, the Chief Cornerstone. So if we're going to go back to that New Testament blueprint, that pattern, that wineskin, we have to first of all recognize that they built upon the rock-solid foundation of Jesus Christ. They did not plant churches on personalities, charisma, or gifting. And I ended last night's message by saying the number one reason why many of our churches and ministries have not been built upon the rock-solid foundation of Jesus Christ is because what I call the worship of cult personalities. We have chosen in America to worship men in their ministries rather than build upon the rock solid foundation of Jesus. How do I know what I'm saying is true? If many churches in America, the senior pastor died, the entire church would disband. Because they have built upon a personality and a gifting and not upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned one large church model is currently working on a hologram. So they are about to make a hologram of a man and he's going to stand up in a campus, but it really won't be him. All because we have built entire movements based off of what one man is doing. I mentioned, I believe that we invented church hurt. Anybody ever been hurt by the church? Hurt by a man, hurt by a... Do you know that we've reaped what we've sown? Because we have chosen to make churches and ministries dependent upon men rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we finished last night in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. They were worshiping the cult personalities in their day. Some were of Paul, some were of Cephas, some were of Apollos, some are of Bill Johnson, some are of Chuck Pierce, some are of Bill Johnson, some are of Bethel, some are of Jesus culture. It's no different than our day. And we have become like the Athenians in Acts 17. Hungry for something new, hungry for something sensational, hungry for something that will tickle our itch. And I'm here to declare to you that the new wineskin that God is forming in the earth is called Jesus. It's going to be extremely disappointing for people that are in love with men in their ministries. But there is a real glory that is about to be uncovered in the days that we live in as God finds a people that will pour out wholehearted devotion to Jesus. So how'd you like last night? Was that okay? Jesus. Now tonight I'm going to preach on the fivefold ministry, because I believe that if we're going to build according to the New Testament pattern, we have to return to biblical eldership in the fivefold ministry. It's important, however, that we get last night down, because when it's about Jesus Christ, everything is easy after that. When Jesus Christ is the head of his church, not some bishop, when Jesus Christ is the foundation, the cornerstone, when he is our all in all, when he's the reason why we've gathered, he's all that we're living for, the vie for power, the vie for attention, the vie for Facebook likes and followers is over. Because all then we exist to do now is to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. It's all about Christ. How we doing? All right, Ephesians chapter 4. If you've got breath in your lungs, say hallelujah. All right. We have had teaching in the church on the life, the death, the resurrection, the second coming of Jesus, but I believe that we have not had much teaching on the ascension of Jesus. Many people have heard teaching on the life, the death, the burial, the second coming, but many people have never heard any messages on the ascension. Why is it that Jesus rose again? And in Acts 1, we know that he spent 40 days making many convincing proofs that indeed he did rise from the dead, proving that he was the Son of God. And after he did that, he ascended back to the Father. But Paul is going to explain to us why Jesus Christ ascended. So let's begin reading in verse 4. Ephesians 4:4. There is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Jesus comes to the earth and he's about to die, and he says that one would come after him, speaking of the Holy Spirit, and that he would lead us and guide us into all truth. So Jesus, he dies, he rises again, and he begins to reveal himself to the disciples. And he ascends into heaven, and I want you to look here at verse 10. He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. This phrase, fill all things, is from the Greek word polero, which means to richly furbish with a substance. If you're taking notes, to richly furbish with a substance. So Jesus Christ, he ascends to the Father. I want you to follow me. He ascends to the Father. Why did he ascend? So that he might richly furbish the earth with the substance of who he is. Jesus Christ ascended into heaven so that he might richly fill the earth with the substance of all of who he is. How would then he accomplish that mission? Verse 11, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors, and some as teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the Son of God and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. How would Jesus Christ richly furbish the earth with all of who he is? He has chosen to do that through five ministries. The primary mission of apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists is so that they might fully manifest all of who Jesus Christ is to the body. Now, I talked yesterday about the church must be built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. The apostles labored in the New Testament to keep Jesus Christ center in both life and doctrine. They did not build ministries and churches on the gifting and personality and charisma of men. That's an absolute true statement. However, and Jesus himself has chosen to give us apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists to richly furbish his body with the revelation of who he really is. So the whole purpose of apostles and prophets and teachers and pastors and evangelists is not so that they could get people to worship them. Not so that they could cause the body of Christ to put them up on some pedestal. Not so that they could get people to make disciples after themselves, but so that they could point the body of Christ back to the foundation and the head. His name is Jesus Christ. A lot of people are afraid of, brother, you're talking apostles and prophets and teachers and what are you? Please hear me tonight. I want to be very, very clear and go on the record. I believe in the current restoration of apostles and prophets, but can I tell you that the way that it's being done in much of America makes me want to vomit? Because all that we have done is we have said, we need apostles and prophets, so now let's worship them. It's all about titles. It's all about accolades. It's all about entourages. Where's Jesus? And so when we talk about the restoration of apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists, we're talking about the body of Christ needs five ministries. And if you're taking notes here, it says in verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God. People who do not believe in modern day apostles and prophets obviously believe that the body of Christ has reached full maturity. What does the scripture say? until we all attain. In other words, we need apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors. We have to have all five ministries. We're always going to need them until we attain maturity in the knowledge of the Son of God. How many of you have ever done the Love and Respect series? Girls, women see through the... Really, that many of you haven't done it? You should do it. It'd be a blessing to you. Who's done Love and Respect? Oh, come on. He says that women see through pink glasses and men see through blue glasses. We all have a different perspective. How many of you are married and still don't get your spouse? You're not on the same, you're still working to get there. It's the same thing with the fivefold ministry. The apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists, they are seeing the body through a different colored lens. I want to introduce a terminology to you. I call it the divine tension. There is divine tension among fivefold ministers because they all are seeing through a different set of lenses. Now, I want to be faithful to point out to you in verse 7, it says, "But to each one of us, grace has been given." Every person in the body of Christ who names the name of Jesus has been given grace. Look at your neighbor right now and say, "You have grace." So everyone has a grace. There's a call. There's something that the Lord has gifted you to do. But it says here in verse 7, according to the measure of Christ's gift. I want you to hear me. We all have grace, but the measure of grace you have is not the same. The metron, the measure of grace that fivefold ministers have because they're called to be equippers, they have a measure of grace on their life that saints don't have. Does it make them any better? Absolutely not. All it means is their assignment is different. So according to the measure, you can have apostles who have grace, but their measure of grace could be to lead 50s, where another apostle, his measure is to lead 5,000. You could have a prophet who has a measure of grace to be a prophet to the local church, and then you could have a prophet who has a grace to really be a prophet to the nations. But you know what the problem with the prophetic movement is? Everyone thinks they're called to the nations. Not. Anybody been on social media recently? Welcome to the competition, the rat race, where we're all vying for popularity, performance, and platforms when it has absolutely nothing to do with that. You know what it has to do with? The grace and the measure of grace that God has given each and every one of us. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says, "In agreement with the grace that God has given me, I say to you." So the fivefold ministry has been given grace, a measure of grace from the Lord Jesus Christ to represent who he is to the body. The apostles, little a, follow me, the apostles, little a, have been given grace to introduce you to Jesus Christ, the apostle, big A. We have prophets, little p, who have been given grace to reveal Jesus Christ to his body as the big P. We have been given teachers who have been given to the body to represent Jesus Christ as the big T, Jesus Christ as the big E, Jesus Christ. Are you following me? So we have little P's, little E's, little T's. I hate to tell you, they're not all that in a bag of chips. They're mere men. They're mere women. They are not infallible. They will fail you. They will disappoint you. They will make mistakes. They're not going to get it right all the time. But they have been given grace by the Lord Jesus Christ to reveal all of who He is to the body. Why did Jesus Christ ascend? He ascended so that He might richly fill the earth with a full revelation of all that He is. According to the measure of grace that He has given each one of us. The way, if you write, you're taking notes. Justin, can I get a little bit more water? I think I already downed that bottle. If you're taking notes, write this down. Grace determines function. Grace determines function. So you line up an apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, and evangelist, and you ask them, what is God saying to the body? A pastor is going to tell you, well, brother, according to the grace they've been given, their body's broken, they're bruised, they need counseling, they're going to do maintenance. They're going to shepherd the body, the pastoral ministry, according to the grace that God has given them. You ask the teacher what God is saying. Here's what the teachers are going to say. The body of Christ does not know the word of God. What's the teacher's passion? What's the teacher's grace? Line upon line, verse upon verse, you've got to know the word of God. You ask the event. We got a teacher back there. We ask the evangelist, what's God saying? Brother, we need souls. We're wasting our time in the church. People are dying and going to hell in Pagosa. What are we doing? They're carrying an evangelistic, a passion for the Lord. You ask the prophets, what's God saying? Man, all the people are deaf, they're blind, they need to dream, they need to prophesy, we need to open up the Holy Ghost in here. You ask an apostle what the Lord is saying. Brother, we need order, we need fathering, there's false doctrine that's cancerous. We need to, if you ask all of the fivefold ministries, what is God saying, according to the grace and the lens that they see through, they're going to give you a different answer. But we need all of them if we're going to grow in the knowledge of the Son of God and mature. We need all of them. Now look at verse 11. And He gave some as... People ask me all the time, is everyone in this room called to the fivefold ministry? No. He gave some as, I'm not here to get into this, but if you don't have a word ministry, if you cannot communicate and preach the word of God, you don't have a fivefold ministry. I could do a whole teaching on that subject, but He gave some to be. So He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as teachers, some as evangelists, and apostles therefore raise up an apostolic people. Prophets raise up a prophetic people. Pastors raise up a shepherding people. Teachers raise up a teaching people. So under the new covenant, you bring a prophet in, and God has given them grace to equip you. You don't bring a prophet in to give you a word from God. You bring a prophet in to help you get a word from God. So, there's this little thing we really need in the church. It's called humility. Here's a humble confession. We need one another. I hate to tell you, prophets, you need the pastors. I hate to tell you, pastors, you need the prophets. I hate to tell you, evangelists, you need the apostles. I hate to tell you, body of Christ, you need all five ministries pouring into you to help you mature to the full stature of Christ. This is why I cringe when people say, brother, the only person I listen to is so-and-so. This is why I cringe when one man does everything in a local church. This is why I cringe at our American model of church, where we sit and we listen to the same person week in and week out. I want you to listen to me. Paul, he said in 1 Timothy 1, I'm an apostle, a teacher, and a preacher. Paul never claimed to be an evangelist. Paul never claimed to be a prophet. Do you know that one man cannot fully mature you into the person God's called you to be? They don't have grace for it, and it's not their fault. See, tonight is not about a pastor bash. This is not me up here saying, hey, if you attend a church where there's a senior pastor and they preach week in and week out, I'm not saying to shut him down. What I'm saying is you've only got one-fifth. If Paul himself said, I'm an apostle and a teacher, see, I meet with pastors and they listen to me speak and they say, well, brother, I'm the apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, and evangelist. I said, brother, that's not spirituality, that's arrogance. I asked one guy, are you Jesus Christ? Because only he is the apostle, the prophet, the teacher. Only he and he alone is the fullness of all ministry. But he has given five ministries to his body for the training and equipping, the releasing of the saints for the work of ministry. So what is the wineskin that God is desiring for the church right now to form, to begin to, here's what I'm going to tell you, the new wine that's coming cannot be contained in a one-man ministry. God is going to have an apostolic, a prophetic, an evangelistic, a teaching, and a pastoral people. God is going to have a people that refuse to worship one man. They refuse to worship any man because they simply know that God has given us church leadership and given them grace on their lives to point us and connect us to our real Lord and our real Savior, Jesus Christ. We need each other. We need each other. We need each other. Why is there an iron curtain in Pagosa Springs? Why was I wrestling demons all last night in my sleep, trying to tear down the iron curtain in this region? Pride. We just can't get along. It takes humility to confess, I don't have the full piece of the, I don't have the full pie. It takes humility to confess we've got to work together as a team to fully manifest Jesus Christ to his body. What is one of the primary problems in America? We have a shepherding people, and that's about it. We've got to have an apostolic people. We've got to have a prophetic people. Now, please hear me. It's not about titles. In fact, when somebody introduces themselves to me as apostle whoever and prophet whoever, it's an immediate red flag. If you're really called to that ministry, why don't you just function and we'll recognize your grace? Or do we just have to self-promote? Paul never introduced himself as Paul, or I should say, Apostle Paul. It was Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, separating his identity from his function. Paul's identity was not that he was an apostle. Paul's identity was that he was a son to the Father. His function was an apostle of Jesus Christ. But what has happened in America is we have combined them and we find our identity, our worth, our value and significance based off of a title and not who God says that we really are. So a lot of people are worried when we start saying, hey, if we're going to get back to this New Testament model where the fivefold ministry is fully operational, are you saying we're just going to get title hungry? No, what I'm saying is we're about to get Jesus hungry. We're about to seek to identify the grace that God has given individuals and saying, we've got to have the revelation of Jesus Christ as the prophet. We've got to have an injection of that. We've got to have an injection of Jesus as an evangelist. And again, the good news is the result of all of this is that we will become fully mature. No longer tossed back like infants from every wind and wave of doctrine. Do you know why the American church is so immature? It's so anemic. It's so flighty. It's so filled with cancerous doctrines. We do not have the full manifestation of all of who Jesus Christ is, and we will never have it until we have the fivefold ministry fully functioning. So who's got your ear? I love the stark differences. I love listening to a pastor and they're making you feel good. Oh, brother. Just that hurting and that I'm not prophesying, okay? That hurting and that broken heart, and you can do it. And here comes an apostle. Brother, you better stand up like a man. You better gird yourself up. There's a war. People are like, bring a prophet, bring an evangelist. See, what's happened is we have not even been exposed to all of who Jesus Christ is, and we tend to reject what we don't understand. What's the problem with the senior pastor, you know, pastoring? Nothing, except it's only 1/5. If you as a people, all you're doing 24/7 is being pastored, really what's happening is you're being coddled. Now, that's not a bad thing. That's just according to the grace that God has given the pastor. But what happens is, if we're in a community of believers and you've only ever been pastored, you're never going to grow up. So we have saints in America that have been saved 30 years that still need their diaper changed. Because they've never been around the other ministries. People are like, brother, what are you listening to? I'm listening to a pastor who's loving on me, making me feel good. I'm listening to an apostle who's making me feel like I lost my salvation. I'm listening to a teacher who's rooting me and grounding. I'm listening to a prophet. I'm listening to an evangelist that's sharing his burdened passion for the harvest of, we need them all. Why do we need them all, brother? The full manifestation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. He is going to have a mature body. The bride of Jesus Christ is going to be made ready. What's it all about? Well, let's look at it again. Verse 12. For the equipping of the saints. Not for the pew sitting of the saints. I know a lot of folks that are ready for something new. They're ready for something different. Bring on the new wine, brother. Saints, if the fivefold ministry is truly released in the body, you are going to be matured, and that's not going to look like you coming and sitting and receiving every Sunday. I said it last night, I'll say it again. I believe we invented mega churches. If you're truly training, equipping, and releasing people for the work of ministry, you can't get that big. The fivefold ministry, they consider success not how many people you can control, but how many people you can release into the works of ministry. See, there's a fathering dimension that has to return. There's a mothering dimension where we consider it our lifelong dream to raise up sons and daughters that far surpass anything that we've ever done. Let my life be that stepping stone. I had a revelation, and now you come and build even greater. You are not a bunch of pew fodder for preachers. I'm convinced in some models they want to keep you spiritually stupid. Many of our church leaders have become nothing more than keepers of aquariums. Come and listen to anointed prophet Billy Bob. Apostle Doodad, Pastor Nomad, come and receive and drink off of the revelation, or come and get equipped. Come and get trained. Come and learn. Come and grow so that you begin to make an impact in the world around you. We're going to shift into this new wineskin, there's a tension that you're going to feel. It's called personal responsibility. It's a cuss word in America. I went after it last night. I don't want to beat a dead horse here tonight, but when we begin this equipping and the training and the activating and the releasing, you're going to have to stop treating one guy as Moses. We have old covenant mindsets when we're living underneath a new covenant. Well, I attend church, and what that means is I hope that pastor, like Moses, goes to the mountain and gets a word from God this week. I'll just give my tithe and do my part, and so I'll go back to my life during the week, and I'll show up next Sunday for a word from Moses. Can I tell you that's old covenant? Can I tell you that the new covenant is, you're going to come, you're going to get trained, you're going to get equipped, you're going to get empowered to do the stuff yourself. You're going to feel a tension because we're actually doing something. The vision is actually to see Pagosa Springs turned upside down for the glory of God, not build our little kingdom and our little ministry. Oh, how much we're doing in the church, building our own empires, doing our own, modeling ourselves after the Pharisees and the religious leaders. Where's Jesus? So one of my questions tonight for you is, are you ready? I mean, for real. If a new wineskin and a new wine, and again, I'm here to tell you it's really not new, it's called the Bible. If we want New Testament results, we have to build according to the New Testament pattern. Now I want to go a little bit further. 1 Corinthians 12, it says that first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and then it lists some gifts of the Holy Spirit. People read that, 1 Corinthians 12, and say, well, apostles are first, they're best, I want to be it. I want to say again, the fivefold ministry has nothing to do with you wanting to be anything. It's from divine calling in election. When somebody claims that they have a fivefold ministry call, the first question you want to ask them is, who called you, not where you did you go to school? I'm going to make a bold statement. We have thousands of people graduating from Bible college and seminary every year that do not have a fivefold ministry calling. Can I be even more bolder? We have people running churches in America that do not even have a fivefold ministry calling. Are they a great CEO businessman? Oh, yeah. But do they have grace on their life to reveal Jesus Christ to the body? Absolutely not. So it says first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. The fivefold ministry is not a hierarchy. People think that the fivefold ministry is like a stepping ladder. So apostles are at top, then prophets, then teachers. It's not a hierarchy. It's called a sequence of building. Ephesians 2:20 says that the foundation of the church is built upon the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. The reason why apostles and prophets come first is because they're foundation layers. They have to come first because we can't build unless we have foundation. So apostles and prophets are foundation layers, and teachers, pastors, and evangelists have what we call building ministries. Apostles and prophets have been given revelatory revelation concerning the person of Jesus Christ. I gave an example earlier. If you invited an apostle or prophet to a church, it's beautiful on the outside. If they're operating in the grace God has given them, they'd never even go inside. You know what they would say? Take me to the basement. They would look at the foundation of that church, and if it was built upon a man, if it was built upon a ministry, it was built upon charisma, if it was built upon personality, they would say, tear it down. How many of our churches and ministries in America are truly built on Christ? How many people would really come if the head honcho wasn't there? Well, is so-and-so going to be there? Oh, I'm not coming. Oh, there's a prayer meeting? Oh, forget that. When's the man of God coming? Saints, I'm telling you, we're in love with men in ministries, and where's Christ? All right, how are we doing? Following me? Going to go a little bit further. The fivefold ministry, I hope I'm demystifying it for you. What I'm saying is the fivefold ministry exists to give us the full representation of all of who Jesus Christ is to his body. We have to have all five ministries for a full manifestation of all of who Jesus Christ is. I'm not bashing church models where one senior pastor is doing everything. However, what I'm going to tell you is because of that model, the body is going to be immature because they're not experiencing all of who Jesus Christ is. The number one hindrance to shifting into a fivefold ministry model is called pride. We have way too many ministers that are finding their identity in their ministry and not in who they are in God that has nothing to do with ministry. My worth, my value, and my significance has nothing to do with this pulpit. You can have it. If I'm not finding my worth, my value, and my significance, I can share. Anybody ever taught their little kids to share? I mean, it's like we're teaching our 2-year-old and 4-year-old how to share, but yet we can't teach grown-ups how to share in the church. Hey, maybe you have a revelation that I don't have. So as we get back to the fivefold ministry, I believe what you're going to see is an equipping, a training, a multiplying, a building for legacy model where you're going to walk into a community of believers and they're all ministers. The tension that you're going to feel is called personal responsibility. There's going to be a large portion of people in apostolic prophetic movements that are going to reject this fivefold ministry model because they would rather live off of the revelation of another man rather than get their own. I believe that the blood of the new covenant bans feeding tube Christianity. God is desiring that each of us would have a revelation of who He is and that we would also be connected to fivefold ministers who can help increase us. This is the problem with this anti-church movement. Well, I'm Apostle so-and-so. Well, where do you go to church? I don't. I am the church. Well, brother, sister, you're never going to fulfill the call because your call is to the body. You don't have a ministry without people. Well, I'm prophet so-and-so. Well, where do you attend? Well, I just kind of float around and wherever the Lord sends me. How are you going to equip and build relationship in the body if you don't have any relationships? Fivefold ministers have to be connected to the body. Flip it. Well, I'm a saint and I don't need the church. I've been hurt. Well, you're never going to grow in the fullness of the knowledge of the Son of God unless you're connected to fivefold ministers. All right, one more time. We need each other. No more lone rangers. No more wandering around quoting random Old Testament scriptures for why I don't have to be accountable to anyone. We are not islands of revelation unto ourselves. Feel that bitterness and that anger and that saints, it's time to come to the altar tonight and get washed clean by the blood of Jesus. It's time to lay down all our church hurt and all our wounding and all our bitterness and all our rejection and say, brother, I just want Jesus. I meet people all over. I've been burned by the church. I'm like, that's okay. You haven't been burned by Jesus. Well, brother, I tried all these churches. Yeah, but you haven't tried Jesus yet. God is about to raise up a people in the earth that are radically Christ-centered. They will contend and they will literally with every fiber of their being, they will long and contend for the preeminence of Jesus Christ in all things. Maybe we've been led astray like Eve, away from simple and pure-hearted devotion to Christ. I hope that this message is bringing relief to you. I hope that you're taking a deep breath saying, oh my gosh, I don't have to chase and worship men anymore. I don't have to run around like a lunatic trying to get this and that. I can actually fall in love with Jesus Christ, honor the gifts that he's given people, and say, Lord, help me grow in you. Not here, let me convince you that I have some revelation that you need. And by the way, that's going to cost you $999 because Isaiah 999. Do you know how many scam artists and posers and pimps and prostitutes are operating in the body of Christ? And here's my fear. People know it and they still say yes. I go to churches and I preach Jesus and they tell me in the meetings, brother, just get on with that. Just prophesy to us. Stop. I had churches all the time. Stop preaching out of the Bible. We didn't bring you here for that. We brought you here for the miracles, the prophecy. Anybody else want to vomit with me? Because saints, if we have a new covenant understanding of the prophets, again, it's not bringing them in to get a word. If that happens, great, but it's about bringing them in as equippers to teach you how to get a word, to teach you how to give a word, so that when they leave, the prophetic ministry is still in full operation. Personal responsibility. Oh, brother, I'd just rather you give me one. I mean, this might be strong, but that's an assault on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus. He shed his blood so that you could have intimate access to the Father. For us to continue to live vicariously through men rather than have intimate communion with the Lord is an assault on the blood of Jesus. Real prophets do not make you codependent upon them. Apostles and prophets and teachers and pastors and evangelists, we're equipping you, we're maturing you so that you can do it too. We're working ourselves out of a job. I go into churches where the head guy is 60-something. He's still leading worship. He's still preaching. There's no one in the congregation. We've spent 40 years in ministry never raising anybody else up. Never empowering. I want you to feel the weight of the saints. If many of the senior pastor models, if that guy died, the entire movement dies. And what I'm telling you is the Lord is hitting delete, or that model of ministry will only last so long, because the real hunger in this generation is for fathering. We are about to see a model of church where platform ministry is going to be torn down. The guy, the head honcho, preaching and then disappearing after the service is over. We're going to have fivefold ministers. We're going to have mothers and fathers modeling what a healthy marriage looks like. We're going to have mothers and fathers modeling what it means to raise your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. The Lord is taking away platform microphone addiction, and he's going to raise up a fully orbed, mature man where at any time, at any place, each one of us can release what God is saying. Oh, it's glorious. And this is the model that the new wine of God's presence and power is going to be poured out upon in this generation. We can prophesy it, we can articulate it, we can declare it, but the word of the Lord in this era is, you've declared a thing, but now it's time to build a thing. You've said the rain is coming, now build the ark. So I want to take 5 minutes and just share my own personal journey in this whole message. So in 2010, the Lord gave me a vision to plant Heart of the Father Ministry in Lakeland, Florida. And the Lord began to show me the wineskin of what I simply call team ministry. That we were not to build the church on my gifting, my personality, my charisma, whatever the Lord was saying to me. We were going to build the ministry off of Jesus Christ as our senior pastor. I kid you not, if you come to Lakeland and ask us, who's the senior pastor, we're going to tell you Jesus Christ. People are like, ha ha, no, it's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation. He's the cornerstone. Put your trust in Him. And so we have been functioning in Lakeland as a team. I'm talking a preaching rotation. I, Jeremiah Johnson, have never preached consecutive Sundays in Lakeland for more than 8 years now. You can imagine, as a national, international speaker, the shock that people feel when they come to Heart of the Father on a Sunday and I'm sitting in the crowd with everyone else with a Bible listening. They walk up to me and say, are you in sin? Are you being disciplined? What's wrong with you? And we say, we're the fivefold ministry. We have a biblical eldership here. Jesus Christ is our pastor, and we share the responsibilities together. We have a fully functioning fivefold ministry team, biblical eldership, where we are working together as a team to impart the full manifestation of all of who Jesus Christ is. I don't have unilateral authority. I am submitted in humility and love relationship with our elders. It has been the hardest thing I've ever done. Can any marriages say amen? You know, it takes supernatural grace to confess, I need you. In our eldership team, for example, one of our elders is like, you know, the grandson of Dave Ramsey, all by the book. One of our other elders is Dave Ramsey, but a word from God trumps it. I'm the radical faith guy. I don't care what's in the bank. We're doing it. You can imagine, as a leadership team working together, saying we're not doing anything unless we agree. You know what we've also done? If we can't agree, we fast. Can I tell you, you can get a lot of agreement if you go out without food? Some of you marriages should try it. I'm talking about love relationship. I'm talking about a commitment to one another to see the full manifestation of the Son of God. Barry, he's a teacher of teachers. I mean, he loves the Word of God. I annoy him because I love the Spirit. He annoys me because he loves the Word. But you know what? We need the Word and the Spirit. We need one another. This is not about picking and choosing. Well, I'll have the pastor and I'll take the teacher. Well, I'll have the evangelist or I'll take the apostle. We've got to have all the ministries for a full manifestation of who Jesus Christ is. And so we are learning, according to the grace that God has given us, how to function together as a team. Here's some of the fruit of eldership. You don't get burned out. Do you know how many pastor does all models of ministry create burnout because we've placed sole responsibility on one man that he was never called to carry? Here's the fruit of fivefold ministry. It provides a system of checks and balances that a one-man ministry never could. Here's the fruit of fivefold ministry. It keeps you from immorality. It keeps you from money embezzlement. When you've got to look other people in the face and say, we're doing it together, it makes way for the Lord Jesus Christ to come and have his way. I believe that we're about to see the full manifestation of the person of Jesus Christ manifested in his body. And he's going to do it how he did it in the New Testament. I hear people say, well, what God is about to do is some new model no one's ever heard of. Run. Run. Well, brother, we just haven't yet seen the fullness, so run. I believe that the Lord is raising up a people that are going to uncover and unveil the mysteries of the Son of God that are found in the Bible. I see a new wineskin forming that's going to be built on Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone of his church. And secondly, tonight, I see a new wineskin forming that will be built on fivefold ministry in plurality. You're going to have leadership teams form where multiple individuals, all functioning according to the grace that God has given them, are going to impart and inject the full manifestation of the Son of God. It's going to take grace for fivefold ministers to confess their need for one another, but it's also going to take grace for you tonight to stop worshiping one man. I go into a lot of churches and they say, well, brother, we can't really do the team thing because everyone says we need our pastor. What I'm telling you is in the fivefold ministry, great, you just got five. We have to have our one guy. No, you have to have Jesus. You have to have Jesus. And as we have Jesus and we begin to function as a team, each fivefold minister is able to function according to the grace. I tell people, biblical eldership does not minimize your gift. It maximizes it. It allows you to function according to the grace that God has given. Now, I had the privilege and the opportunity to meet with the eldership team here at Restoration Fellowship this morning. I want to tell you that these brothers are fully on board for this shift. I believe that I heard last night the Lord woke me up several times, that the Lord is desiring an apostolic shift in this community. I believe that the Lord is going to raise up this house where you're going to primarily be known for Christ. What's up with that church? They are obsessed with Jesus. It's like annoying. They talk more about Jesus than their church and who's preaching. When you get there, people aren't concerned about who's preaching that day. They just care if God shows up or not. God's going to raise up a people where people actually start coming to prayer meetings. Hello. Because we've learned that the real glory is sitting with our butts in seats, staring at the face of God and saying, we love you. I believe this is going to become a place where the fivefold ministry is fully operational, not so that we can walk around and say, I'm apostle so-and-so and I'm evangelist so-and-so, but so that we could have the full manifestation of all of who Jesus Christ is. I believe that this community is on a journey. I believe that you're on a trajectory. But I firmly believe that the last seven words of every dying church is this: we've never done it this way before. Was that seven? I'm scared. What are you talking about? Apostolic. This guy's a false whatever. My encouragement is, read the Bible. Let's hit delete on all that we think we know and all that we've learned and all our American models. The Lord is looking for a courageous people. I asked a question last night, what price are you willing to pay to build according to the pattern? For a lot of ministry teams, the price is people are going to leave. People are going to leave. Why? They would rather have their feeding tube stuck to one man than be empowered to grow up into all things called Christ. What's the price? Some saints are going to have to begin to say yes to the call on their own life and step out in faith and say, Jesus, come and have your way. What if God is waiting to fill the earth with the full manifestation of his power and glory? What if he's waiting to fill it until we form it? You and I are building stones. We are the smooth stones that are being built together as the house of God with Jesus Christ as our cornerstone. It's going to be glorious. But the worship of man, I mentioned it last night. In a time of prayer, we went before the Lord in the throne room of heaven and said, Lord, what's the rules up here? And he simply said to me, the only rule in the throne room is no crowns allowed. It's time to lay down our crowns, our need for titles and recognition and accolades and say, Jesus, we just want you. Jesus, we know that you've given ministries to the church and we need all of them to receive. Also, Lord, would you connect us? Beloved, I'm earnestly praying for divine connections for your life. It scares me to death when preachers say, you're only allowed to listen to me. If you go anywhere else besides this church, you're disloyal. Saints, we need everybody. We need all the we need, yeah, yes, there's false teachers. Yes, there's weird people out there that we need to be warned of. But I can assure you, the body of Christ is massive. Social media, I mean, it's glorious because you can get connected to ministries and people that are functioning and maybe something that you're not receiving from. You can invite other ministers into your midst to inject the that's why I think I'm here this weekend, to inject an apostolic prophetic DNA into this house and declare to you that the Lord has declared a thing, but now he's about to build a thing. That you all have been merging, you've been shifting, you've been waiting to get up to this point, and that iron curtain is going to fall in this region. The pride and the arrogance and the worship and the refusal to confess our need for one another, those days are coming to an end. Let's close our eyes for a minute. God, I'm asking tonight that you would adjust and readjust, that you would align and realign, that you would dismantle and that you would mantle, that you would correct, that you would encourage, that you would rebuke, that you would exhort. Lord, as your word says, let everything that can be shaken, be shaken. I believe that you are about to shake everything that can be shaken in the earth. God, I'm asking that you would come and shake Pagosa Springs. Lord, I'm asking that there'd begin to be a rattle and a rumble. There'd begin to be a new sound being released. Lord, I just ask, Father, would you heal the reproach from this land. God, I'm asking even now that you'd begin to draw out the pus from many of your people that are harboring bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness. God, I'm asking that you would release a wave of repentance across Pagosa Spring. Lord, if we're doing things on our own, if we've become an island of revelation unto ourselves, God, I'm asking that you would help us tonight. Divine connections. Lord, I just decree in this house that doors that have been closed are about to be opened. I decree that doors that have been opened are about to be shut. I decree divine order and alignment over this house in the name of Jesus, that each and every member in each would begin to find their place. The Spirit of God would say, find your place. So God, would you show each one of us? Would you shift us? Would you shake us? Would you realign us? Saints, I don't know what you need to pray for. God, we're asking that you would do it. A full manifestation of the Son of God. Let it be our portion. Raise up an apostolic, a prophetic, a shepherding, an evangelistic, a teaching generation in this place. Lord, we're asking that you would reveal to us the areas that we're lacking. If we're deformed, if we have deficiencies, God, would you reveal those things to us now? Bring the rain, God. Bring the rain of your presence and your glory. Spirit of wisdom, would you come? Spirit of revelation, would you come? I'm asking for the full counsel of God to be manifested in this place. Spirit of wisdom, would you come? Spirit of revelation, would you come? Let the full counsel of God be manifested in this place. We say, let this message be a cause for edification, not division. We say, let this message be a cause for excitement, not disappointment. Let this message be a cause for information, not ammunition. Lord, we just decree a ceasefire in Pagosa Springs. I just see people shooting at one another. I see bands of militia that are trying to take out church leaders. I see church leaders who are trying to take out one another. Lord, we just thank you for a revolution, like a revolutionary war. Lord, we're asking, would you release a revolution in this city? Unity. Unity. Let us not think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Let us take the low road. What does it matter as long as Jesus is glorified? Who cares if they recognize our title? As long as Jesus is glorified. Jesus, would you come and receive the full reward of your suffering in the earth? Lord, forgive us for stealing glory that only belongs to you. Jesus, we love you. We honor you. We adore you. We say, hallowed be thy name. Let your kingdom come, and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There was an era in the body, the Copelands and the Hagans and Benny Hinn, and you saw the rise of these massive one-man ministries. But I'm prophetically declaring to you that those days are over, that we are moving into a new era where it's no longer showing up and watching one man or woman of God do their thing. It's time for you to do your thing. It's time to get connected. It's time to get empowered. It's time to live in humble submission to one another. It's time to grow up. It's time to mature. It's time to say yes to the Lord. I'm not here to fault. I'm not here to accuse. I'm not here to say, I'm better than. I know better. You miss the whole thing if it can't be done in humility. It can't be done, and it's going to take a spirit of revelation and wisdom to open up our eyes to what the Lord wants to do in the earth. Amen.